Hello, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. Thank you for joining us today. We're super excited to have a special guest. I'm always the most excited about testimonies. And we get to interview a lot of great folks, a lot of really smart scientists and doctors and different things. But I think when people hear from a regular person, not a intellectual, scientific, or even physician. It really can encourage people. And that's the point of these testimonies, is to encourage people, give people hope, and really just reinforce the thought and the philosophy, the belief that God designed our bodies beautifully. And it almost always is just a lack of knowledge and lack of stewardship. Kind of is where it boils down to. And it's such a personal journey too. And I know we're going to get into the peace pillar some today. And that's always a huge question that people will ask me. What do you mean, peace pillar? And I mean, they understand stress and de-stressing and sort of understand peace, but they want a practical application of that in the step 1, 2, 3, usually, you know. And it's different than that. It's a unique and individual experience and a journey. It's this thing called life, that with this road we're walking down. So Caitlin is with us today. And Caitlin's been a patient for, I don't know, 6 months?
6 months, yeah.
Yeah. But a listener to the podcast prior to that and implemented some things. But I'll let her tell her story. And it's a big story. And we were just joking before we started that this may go 3 days. I think our pastor was joking about that. But who knows? It may turn into part one, part two, depending on how this first hour goes. But Caitlin, really just want to give the floor to you. So if you don't mind, just sort of a little background on yourself, as much as you want to share with the audience of where you've been and what's got you to where you are today, and just share your story.
So first of all, thank you, Dr. Ben, for having me here. It feels really weird to be here because I've been listening to you for so long and I learned so much, and it's amazing to sit next to Nicole also. So my health story needs to go back to childhood. I suffered from allergies, asthma, chronic ear infections, lots of colds, infections, lack of energy, motivation. I was very obese as a child. Picture the kid at the end of the line in PE class when you were running, and missed a lot of school, and lots of antibiotics, antidepressants, an inhaler. I started menstruating at a very young age. I started at 10, and it was miserable from the start. I had very heavy periods, bleeding, didn't do a lot for my self-esteem. It was really, really tough, and just getting through a normal school day was very, very hard. And at 13, I was diagnosed with something called endometriosis, which, if you are suffering from endo, you understand how hard it is. And after suffering through that for several years, I was put on continuous birth control as a Band-Aid solution. Never got to the root cause of my endo, just put me on birth control, young age of 15, not thinking of consequences. And further diagnosis of hormonal migraines followed when I was 16. I actually passed out several times, one of which was when I was driving, and it always coincided with my cycle. And those problems just kind of continued into college. And what I thought was going to be an amazing experience in college ended up being pretty hard. My pain had kind of spiraled out of control. I was on narcotic pain medicine for my my cramps, my endometriosis, and antidepressants. And I spent more time sleeping in my dorm than I did going to class, because I was just exhausted all the time, completely depleted. And the cycle continued with the frequent infections. I felt like I was constantly sick. Constant allergies, constant colds. If something went around, bronchitis, something like that, I was going to get it. And it would take me a long time to get over it. So that cycle just kind of continued. And I could never lose weight, no matter what I tried. And I was just looking back now, I see how truly inflamed I was now that I know what inflammation is. And so basically, I flunked out of college. And I worked and realized that, hey, I don't, I'm not knocking anyone, but I don't want to be a waitress for the rest of my life because customer service is not for me, especially when I'm really grouchy and it's hard to be around people. Mm. So that motivated me to make some changes. And I got off of the antidepressants. I got off of the narcotic pain medicine, got back in college, worked really hard. I was able to lose a significant amount of weight. I got down to a healthy weight and graduated college with honors. And college was a very happy time for me. I met my husband. I fell in love. I experienced true happiness during that time. And it was a very good time in my life. And I never really saw a depletion of symptoms, but I was able to function. And I became a teacher. I was really, really good at being a teacher. I enjoyed working with my students. I had very good relationships with them, but I struggled. I struggled as a teacher. I missed a lot of work. And again, the frequent infections. As a teacher, you know, you're around a lot of germs and definitely didn't steward my terrain correctly at that time. I was eating a standard American diet. And the cycle just kind of continued with the frequent infections. Lots of strep throat. I would get the flu and take a long time to get over it. And I had been on so many antibiotics that at this point it was taking more than just antibiotics. I was taking steroids. And well, you can, if you've ever taken steroids, and you can imagine what the weight gain was like, gained all the weight back and more. And I was really obese and inflamed. And then my endometriosis problems really just came back full force. And I got sick my third year of teaching to the point where I missed 3 consecutive months of work. And doctors could never figure out what was wrong with me. I couldn't breathe. I was just incredibly weak and fatigued. And that was a pretty rough time. I was pale. I lost a lot of my hair during that time. And I ended up going back to work for 3 more years. And then the pain kind of just spiraled out of control. I got off of birth control when I was 30 after being on it for 15 years, which, I mean, you can imagine damage alone that did. And it my health kind of spiraled at that point. I became consumed by pain, and I was no longer effective at my job. I couldn't get through a school day, a school week. My cycles were lasting sometimes a full 30 days, and I just couldn't function. Resigned from teaching, even though I was sad to leave my kids. And when I was there, I was a really good teacher, but the problem was I couldn't be there. Mm. So the pain at this point consumed my life. It is all I could think about. I couldn't spend the night in bed with my husband. I would end up on the bathroom floor just in pain, crying, and wishing for death at some point. I'm ashamed to admit, but it was to that point. I was in so much pain. So at about 32 years of age, I scheduled an appointment to talk to my doctor about a hysterectomy. I felt that that would be the right decision, that it would end my pain. And after consulting with my doctor and having testing, she convinced me that not only would it fix my problems, but I would lead a healthy and happy life and would solve all of my problems. So I listened to the advice of my doctor. I made the decision out of fear in desperation. And at the time, I was really, really unhealthy. I was eating a sad diet. If you look into diets recommended for people with endometriosis, they basically say avoid red meat, eat lots of plant-based diet, lots of grains, starches. And there was not a diet that I didn't try. I listened to the experts. When I think about all of the turkey and chicken that I ate now and all the salads, it makes me want to gag. I still have a hard time eating chicken after all of that. I did whatever my doctor, whatever the so-called experts advised me to do. There was nothing that I wouldn't try. But I realized at 33 years old, I was sitting at 218 pounds. I was, in a size 20 plus clothes and not doing well. And I realized, I don't know if I'm healthy enough to make it through this surgery, through the anesthesia, through the whole process. I mean, it really hit me that I may not be healthy enough for this. And my best friend, Katie, she is a PA, but she also has a degree in nutrition. And she had been telling me about the keto diet and been saying, I really think this could help you and you would do well on it. And I just thought, oh, that's another diet. It's not going to work for me. But I finally went to her and I said, look, I'm going to delay my surgery for 6 months. I want to try the keto diet. I don't know if I'm healthy enough to get through this. And so Katie helped me get started on keto. And I did it for, I think I ended up doing it 3 months before my hysterectomy. And at first, my cycle got a little bit more erratic. But then the month before my surgery, I actually had the most normal cycle that I'd ever had in my entire life. And looking back now, I wish that I would have given it a little more time. But in my own wisdom, I went ahead with my hysterectomy anyways. And that is when my situation went from a bad situation to an even worse situation. And from the moment that I woke up from my hysterectomy, I was a different person. I was different emotionally. I never expected the emotional fallout, feeling like a part of me was missing. I wasn't whole anymore emotionally. And then physically, I felt very, very different from the moment that I woke up. I felt like my body was different. I didn't feel right internally. I felt loose inside. I felt an incredible amount of pain, a coldness I had never felt. I still can't stand being cold after that happened. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced. And my doctor had told me, you'll be at 90% in 10 days. I was not at 90% in 6 weeks. I did not get released at the 6 week mark. I went much longer than that. And instead of looking at what was going on, my doctor blamed me for my lack of recovery. She told me most women would be exercising by now. And that was a tough blow. I told her to let me know when she'd had a hysterectomy, how she felt afterwards, because it was absolutely devastating. And it was also a time that I struggled with relationships in my life because everyone thought I was going to have this hysterectomy. I was going to get my life back, and that didn't happen. And I was looking around going, how is no one understanding what I'm going through? And at the same time, they were like, well, why is she not better by now? Why is she not bouncing back from this? I thought this was the reason why she had it. And that wasn't the case. And so people just kind of became a kind of a threatening aspect of my life because it was hard to be around them. And I felt so judged and so ashamed and so guilty that I almost didn't want to be around people anymore because I couldn't look them in the eyes anymore. And I felt ashamed of what happened to me as a woman and in my marriage. And at this time, I was professing to be a Christian. I thought that I was doing everything right. I was reading my Bible. I was reading my devotional. I was praying, and I realize now that I was relying on my own faith, my own wisdom, and I thought that I was doing everything right. I didn't think that there was anything wrong with my situation, and it was also during that time that these new symptoms came to light. It wasn't just cramps anymore. I suddenly was plagued with joint pain and brain fog and nerve pain. And I had this awful fatigue. I had no energy. Just performing tasks like cleaning the house were just monumental tasks. It was hard to take a shower and not be exhausted. I had urinary and bladder pain with frequent urination. I described it to my doctor as feeling as asking her if she had actually left a child's foot on my bladder when she did the hysterectomy. That felt like a foot was just pushing it all the time. I was short of breath and winded. I had the most awful migraines. They just kind of spiraled out of control. They would last for 7 days sometimes. I'd have a really high pulse. My head would be pounding. I'd have to sometimes go to the doctor, and he'd give me a shot, knock me out, send me home. And I was weak. I had fever, body aches, sore throat, chest pain, and palpitations. And then 5 months after my hysterectomy, I started getting cramps again, like I did when I would have a period. And I was thinking, how is this happening? I had a hysterectomy, and I started spotting, like bleeding. And I was incredibly confused. So I went to Dr. Google this time, and I typed in cramping after hysterectomy. It feels like period pain. And the first link I saw was hysterectomy does not cure endometriosis. And It felt like the bottom of my stomach just fell out. I was just completely gut punched and shocked. And I cried, and I read just link after link after link. And I was in utter and total disbelief because I had trusted my doctor. And they had said, you'll be better. You'll be a new you. You'll get your life back. And I was just completely in shock. My husband was in shock. It had been a complete ordeal. And I started learning that not only does hysterectomy not cure endometriosis, but it's also a total body disease, and it can happen outside of your body. It's been found on almost every major organ. You can have it in your brain, your sinuses, your eyes, your lungs. And I had been having these breathing problems, kidneys, throughout the body. And on the advice of some other people in the endo community, I requested my surgery records. And I honestly couldn't believe the things that was revealed to me just in my surgery records that my doctor had been dishonest about. She had told me that they got all of my endometriosis and adenomyosis when she removed my uterus, and that I had a tiny speck on my pelvic wall that she had zapped. She never told me that I had a 3-centimeter endometrioma on my left ovary, which would explain the severe pain I had on my left side, and that I had it outside of my body, and that I had a large cyst on my right ovary, and that was left intact. And when I requested my medical records from her personally, she had basically described me as a complete head case. She said I claimed to be suffering from PTSD, and that I would not take antidepressants, and basically that it was all in my head. And so my bitterness kind of grew from that. I hated the world. I hated the situation. I pitied myself, and I was just asking why, how could this have happened to me? I was doing this to get my life back. And I just became more bitter more angry, more sick. And I scheduled an appointment with an excision specialist who their only job is to excise endometriosis, which is not covered by insurance. The only recommended treatment for endometriosis is something called an ablation, which I had, where you burn it off, but you don't get to the root cause, and hysterectomy. Those are the only two things that insurance will cover. An excision specialist is someone that goes in and excises it, cuts it out at the root. And so I had an appointment with an excision specialist who recommended surgery, excision surgery. They would go in and check all of my organs, and also a very invasive surgery called VATS, where they would be going into the lungs and excising endo from that area as well. And he also recommended that I be tested for Lyme disease, because a lot of my symptoms also added up for somebody having Lyme. And he said in all the years that he's been doing it, he's seen that Lyme can be dormant in somebody's body. And then after a painful thing like surgery, then it flares up and causes problems again. So I scheduled an appointment with an infectious disease doctor to be tested for Lyme. And I had to argue, I had to fight, I had to advocate just to be tested for Lyme. And he told me, you don't have Lyme. We don't have that down here. And I explained to him, you know, I've been bitten by a lot of ticks in my life. We're hunters. We live in the country, have a place in Arkansas. You know, I've traveled outside of Texas also. And so he tested me, and I did have markers for Lyme. And so this was in late 2019 at this point. None of the treatment options for Lyme disease sat well with me. And I looked into the various treatments, and I didn't feel like any of those were an option for me. So I kind of just moved forward. And at this point, it was late 2019. My list of symptoms had grown. I was completely disabled. Basically, the only thing that I would accomplish for the day was sometimes I showered. One thing my husband never budged on was that I get out of bed every day and I feed our animals. I take care of our animals. And sometimes I cook dinner. And that was about the extent of my day. And my symptoms at this point were now total body pain. I had pain under my left rib cage that would come and go. I had extreme stomach and bowel problems. I had bouts of gastritis. I had internal bleeding where I went in. I had colonoscopy, endoscopy. It came back absolutely normal. Nobody could explain where the bleeding was coming from. I had chronic diarrhea, cramping, pain using the restroom, nausea. I was diagnosed with GERD, frequent and debilitating headaches, fatigue, blurry vision. I had rashes that would come and go. My joint pain would travel. Sometimes it was my knees, my ankles, my fingers, my neck. I had fever, body aches, very frequent sore throats. I always felt like I had a tightening feeling in my neck and my throat. It felt like something was just grabbing my throat all the time. Pain in my right ovary, bladder pain with frequent urination, unexplainable spotting and bleeding, muscle weakness, numbness in my fingers and toes. I had chest pain, palpitations, difficulty breathing, shortness of breath. I was dizzy all the time. I had extreme brain fog, trouble concentrating. I had impaired neurological function and dizziness. I had impaired motor skills. Sometimes I'd be holding something in my hands and my hands would just let go. I would drop things. I would see things out of the corner of my eye that weren't there, like shadows. Even though I'd been riding horses my whole life, I could no longer remember how to saddle a horse. And my fingers wouldn't work to saddle one. And the joint pain was just too much to do it. I was calling our animals by the wrong names and just kind of bumbling around. I had depression and anxiety and intolerance for food and medication, which the medication thing was a blessing that I couldn't tolerate all of the medication that the doctors wanted me to take. I had bloating, which is common in people with endometriosis. They call it endobelly, inflammation, a red face and a rash. Several doctors said I probably had lupus, jaw pain, painful sex, increased thirst, blood pressure issues. My diastolic blood pressure would be over 90. My systolic would be lower than 90, so they would be inverted. My heart would race, even just sitting. My pulse would be over 130. I had insomnia, frequent bruising, tenderness. I was completely forgetful. I had a sensitivity to smell. I could not stand smelling just even somebody's laundry detergent on their clothes. It was so overpowering to me. It would make me sick. I had painful acne, just to name a few. So.
That's incredible.
A very, very bad time.
Bless you. I mean, I know you're better now. We're going to get to that after the break. But just going through all that, it's a nightmare.
My husband said the other night when we went back and looked at my testimony, he said, I forgot how bad this was. It was really, really bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's every system of the body.
It's everything.
I mean, you were completely shut down and inflamed is probably as much as any patient we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was hard to listen to. And I know a whole lot harder to live through. But there's hope. And there's always hope for healing. And that's what we're going to hear about when we get back from the break. The rest of the story. And it's quite the journey. So, Caitlin, thank you for being with us today. I'm sorry you went through such a hard many years. And on behalf of my colleagues, that out of really ignorance, lack of training, lack of knowledge, they just didn't know what to do. I used to not know what to do. So please forgive us if you haven't. I'm sure you have.
I know that's part of the testimony
we'll be getting into is the spiritual journey here. But man, that's a lot. And for those listeners out there who maybe are experiencing similar things, I'll just say, on behalf of the conventional medicine, please forgive us. You know, we go to medical school to help people and then we're not taught how really to do that. We're taught to treat symptoms. And when you were telling your story, it reminded me of this old OBGYN that I trained under. He pulled me aside one day and I thought he was kind of joking, but now looking back, wasn't really a joke. He said, Ben, all you really need to know, as far as on this rotation, OBGYN, is the woman's age. If she's 45 and under, put her on birth control and an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
If she's 45 or above, put her on Premarin and an antidepressant. And that was literally what he told me for any complaint that a woman was coming into his clinic for.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, that's kind of the way it was back then. And probably still to this day, I don't think Premarin's in too much popular. But anyways, we got to take a break. We got a lot more to talk about, so I'll be quiet. Everybody stick with us. We'll be right back with more of Caitlin's testimony. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure. All right, we're back. Thanks for joining or coming back with us here. We've got Caitlin's testimony. Again, you can find these on veritasmedical.com. We archive all these shows also on iTunes. So Caitlin, super sick. Every system of your body is down. You're highly inflamed. You're not getting any relief in conventional medicine world. So take it from there. What started to turn for you?
So at this point, I was still living in fear and I felt like I lost control of my life. And this was, early 2020, which you know what was coming in 2020. I had, out of fear, once again, I scheduled an excision surgery, including the invasive VATS procedure. But with that thing that happened in 2020, elective surgeries were canceled. And that ended up being a blessing in my life. I didn't realize it at the time, but that canceled surgery was a good thing. And my list of doctors was growing. I was seeing a gastroenterologist, a pulmonologist, cardiologist, anything that ended with ologist. I was probably seeing them at the time. And my best friend, Katie, she actually was going with me to appointments and advocating for me because she was a PA. And she would go with me and just say, no, this isn't normal for her. And she knew a lot of these people as colleagues. And so she wanted them to really listen and hear me. But all of my baseline tests kept coming back saying everything's normal. And they weren't running real extensive panels. They would just diagnose me with anxiety, prescribe me Xanax. The cycle would repeat. I was always offered pharmaceuticals. One story about a cardiologist, I went to him for my blood pressure issues and he could never explain them, said all my tests were fine, but he prescribed me two medications. And my husband and I kind of said, well, why do I need these medications? And he said, it's just a tiny little pill. Just take it. Mm. And so I didn't do that.
Quit asking so many questions.
Yeah. So I was a difficult patient. But my health continued to decline, but at the same time, so did my faith in doctors and modern medicine. And I just want to reference, I'm going to read some scripture here that I feel really describes me at the time. It's Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. We spent a lot of money. And was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt it in her body that she was healed of her disease. And how I wish right there at that time in my life, I would have stopped and I would have reached for Jesus' garment and I would have just grabbed a hold of it. And I was feeling in my gut that it wasn't right and I wasn't going to get my answers through modern medicine. I just couldn't see past my sickness and my bitterness. I reached a point where I was just consumed with guilt and self-hatred. I felt like my life was over in my 30s. I wasn't suicidal, but I was okay with dying. I told the Lord, I can't take any more of this. Please just take me. Just take me. I'm done. And I pulled back from most people. I was down to the friends that just refused to leave no matter what I did. And I'm so thankful for them. But what finally broke through to me was my husband. And I'll probably cry. It was Valentine's Day of 2021 at this point. And he grabbed me and he shook me and he said, Kate, I need you to fight. I can't live without you. And I need you to fight. And he said, I feel like you've given up. I can see it in your eyes that you're done, but I need you to stand up. I need you to fight. And I need you to refuse to let this go any further because I need you. And that's what woke me up was my husband's love. And so praise God. And I dove into learning about natural healing. So I was technically keto at this time, but I hadn't fully grasped, fully understood, like, today's modern keto is not the same as, like, ancestral keto. Like, we have a junk food keto kind of in America where I was eating, like, if it said keto, I was eating it. Like, the keto snacks, if you look at them, they have soybean oil and things like that in them and things that aren't really keto. They were basically just junk food. I didn't understand fully grass-fed and finished meats, organic, non-GMO fruits and vegetables. I was able to keep the weight off during this time, but that's mostly because food made me sick and I ate very, very little because I'd eat and I'd feel terrible. I drink a lot of coffee and I fasted a lot. And so I wasn't obese anymore, but I wasn't healthy either. So I started following this doctor named Paul Saladino, who's a carnivore doctor. And I watched a documentary called The Magic Pill, which you used to be able to find on Netflix, but now it's censored. So
imagine that.
I read a book called The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Takeholtz. And I started learning about our ancestors and how modern diseases like we have today were completely non-existent back then. And I started getting my fight back. And Dr. Paul Saladino actually sent me information on meat-based functional medicine doctors because I knew that I didn't want a plant-based at that time. I'd already been through the plant-based thing and I knew that wasn't for me. So I started seeing a functional medicine doctor, and he ran the most extensive panels I had had ever. And he found I was at a postmenopausal level. No one other than my best friend had run any panels to check my hormones, even though I'd had a hysterectomy. I had severe sex hormone dysfunction, low testosterone, progesterone, estradiol, and I was also estrogen dominant. I had high levels of inflammation, insulin resistance, pH imbalance, malabsorption issues. Even though I was eating foods that could be considered healthy, I wasn't absorbing them. I had vitamin deficiencies, including low vitamin D, iron overloading, adrenal fatigue, pancreatic autoimmune, and I had a very high viral load of Epstein-Barr virus, which would explain like the sore throats, fever, body aches. So he recommended some supplements and a 30-day paleo autoimmune reset, which is, it's a good starting point for a lot of people. But for me, the foods I added in were kind of too much. But the positive was it taught me to remove the process, like keto snacks and things that I was eating. I got away from pasteurized dairy and the sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners. And then I had this... I have this really good friend, Kinsey, and everything that I would find out from my functional medicine doctor, she would counter it with, well, Dr. Ben says, and everything I said, she would push me to listen to Dr. Ben's show. And so I finally started listening to his podcast, even though I was kind of thinking, well, I'm already seeing a functional medicine doctor, so it doesn't really matter. And I started listening to the podcast and learning about the root cause protocol. And my husband was coming home from work and suddenly I was excited and I was telling him all these things that I learned. So he got on board with me and we started learning about the four pillars: nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, and regenerative ag, the quality of food and the deception and nutritional fallacies, and learning about choosing God foods over man foods. And I started feeling better on, like, especially getting minerals back in my body through the root cause protocol. And the functional medicine doctor I was seeing at the time decided to do a GI map on me. And that just opened up a whole new slew of things. I had bacterial flora deficiency, SIBO, gut dysbiosis. I had a marker for MS, multiple sclerosis, bacterial overgrowth, candida. I had a parasite. Low elastase, which was intestinal health, low secretory IgA, which is your immune system response, definite leaky gut. And at this time, I'd already been listening to Dr. Ben. So when he came and told me the recommendations that he had, which was a very intensive protocol of he wanted to attack every single thing, cleanse it, lots of supplementation, antibiotics. And I kind of learned from listening to your show, Dr. Ben, that if you don't clean up your environment, it's likely to come back. And I'd really bought into the philosophy that God designed our bodies perfectly. And if you give the body what it needs, avoid what it doesn't, it will heal itself, like Dr. Ben says every week. So I canceled with that functional medicine doctor, and I got on the waiting list for Veritas in early April of 2021. My appointment was scheduled for October 1st of 21. And in the meantime, I continued educating myself. I continued with the RCP. I did the Core 4, magnesium, cod liver oil, the liver, probiotic-rich foods like sauerkraut. I added in I detox for my iron overloading. And then I listened to Dr. Ben's podcast with Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride, who created the GAPS diet. And that's when my healing really took off. And GAPS is, it's very intense. It's a lot of cooking, a lot of shopping, a lot of planning. But it really gets to that deep level of healing, especially if you have intensive gut damage like I did. And you work through foods in stages. I had to start with just sipping meat stock, just the stock from the meat that I would cook. And then I added in bits of meat, and then I added in certain vegetables, certain safe vegetables, and I just started adding more foods in stages. And I can't tolerate pasteurized dairy raw dairy was huge for me. It's like the pleasure center of my brain lit up when I started eating raw dairy. I was doing kefir and probiotic whey and raw yogurt, which is so delicious and so good. And so like I started seeing all of these improvements, and you know, I learned from GAPS, it's not a quick fix. It's really hard. It's a 2-year commitment minimum to GAPS. And I just this month reached the 1-year point on GAPS. And it is tough, but like keto and carnivore and paleo and even the Wise Traditions diet, they're great for a whole lot of people. It's enough for some people. But for me, it wasn't with the intense level of damage.
Yeah. And I just want to interject because you're highlighting a beautiful point here. Some people have to go what I would say extreme, but GAPS is intense.
Yeah.
It's super nutritious, super healing, and probably everybody should do it. I mean, it's that healing, but it's not probably required for everybody. Mm-hmm. You can get well without GAPS, most people I'd say, but you were so sick, so damaged for so many years. I mean, this started at like 10
childhood,
years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just really didn't let up your whole life, a little bit in college, but so you were intensely sick and intense healing, required the GAPS. But I just want to also highlight the fact you said you called for an appointment in April. You couldn't get in until October, but you heard that podcast, so you started this GAPS. So what you're talking about right now, all this healing that's happening, was before you ever stepped foot into Veritas and saw a practitioner.
Yes. Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months of it.
That, when I've met you, when you did come for your appointment, and you were so much better already.
Yeah.
That was so profound for me. From basically disabled, bedbound, I mean, couldn't do anything. Uh-huh. Every system of the body, so sick, seen so many doctors. And you got well. And my question is, what percentage would you say that you got well from April till October before you saw a practitioner here, after seeing so many conventional doctors?
I'd say I was probably at about 75%.
That's amazing.
I had some lingering things happening, so I still wanted to keep my appointment for those reasons. And I did prove to be a difficult enough patient that you got to come in on the consult.
Well, I was glad to come in and glad I got to meet you.
Yes.
I didn't say at the beginning, Nicole Powell's with us today, wellness navigator. I know you mentioned it, Caitlin. But I want to ask you one thing, Nicole, and then we'll get back. You can keep going, Caitlin. You came to me and said, or emailed me or texted and said, you need to get Caitlin on the show. I mean, we've seen a lot of people get well over the years. What made you so adamant about Caitlin coming on the show? What was different here? I mean, a lot of people have done GAPS. A lot of people have got well. What was different?
I think that she had seen the cycles of doing these things in the natural and the physical to get better, but then something else would come up. And I always mention the peace pillar with every patient. We all do. But you have to meet them where they're at. And it's really ultimately up to them where they're going to go with that. Are they going to seek the Lord? Are they going to come back to you and bounce ideas off? And really, when I first started talking to Caitlin, I didn't know if she was going to do it. But that's why, because this healing journey, you'll see in a minute, is so highlights how important the peace pillar is. We tell patients all the time it's the most important one. Really, it's kind of an elusive thing. You don't understand it until you see it or you go through it. But we see patients get better all the time, but she was rock bottom. And if you guys could, if radio had a picture and you could see her here today, walking it, how she walked in, what she looks like, her joy.
Beautiful, radiant, joyful.
You the epitome would of health. Just be in shock and awe at what the Lord's done in her life. So I think that was just such a profound healing. But the fact that she went through these cycles of doing things to help, and I'm not saying that we should never do that, but she ultimately came to a place where she knew that she was going to have to address the peace pillar, and mm-hmm. that was the only way
Yeah. Okay, Caitlin. So let's go there a little bit. We've got probably 15 minutes or so, give or take.
Okay, so I'll jump to when I meet Nicole. So Nicole changed my life. Dr. Ben, you're awesome, but I credit Nicole for a lot.
That's why we're highlighting the Wellness Navigator. Just go to veritasmedical.com and sign up with the Navigator today.
Do it. So I know that every Wellness Navigator at Veritas has to be wonderful. I met Angie today, and she's great, but I could not have been matched with a more perfect Wellness Navigator. Nicole and I had a lot in common from the beginning, taking a natural approach to things. Like, if I can get something from a food, I want to do that before I get it from a supplement. And we had that in common. Like, for example, I never supplemented with vitamin D. I did cod liver oil and focused on getting more sun, and it brought my vitamin D levels up. And so we had that in common. But one thing that was really cool about Nicole from the start is she encouraged me to seek the Lord with my nutrition and pray about how I should eat and not get so stuck into a box of a diet and that I have to have this, but really pray and seek the Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I was just kind of like, after our first appointment, like, have I ever done that? Have I ever actually asked God how I should eat and what is healthy for me? Because what's healthy for me may not be healthy for another person and vice versa. And, you know, a lot of times you can get into disordered eating where you get so caught up into thinking like, I have to eat this way to be healthy. And like I saw, even though I was keto carnivore, I was missing out on a lot of minerals. And maybe if I had sought the Lord at that time, he would have revealed to me something that I needed to eat. So she did a really great thing there. And my healing just continued to take off. I was working and just really doing well. And I thought, I've kicked this, I've done it. And then everything was great until it wasn't. And in about late October, I started feeling some pain in my very sensitive nether region. And I thought, well, I'm in my 30s. I've never had hemorrhoids before. And I thought maybe I have a hemorrhoid. And I didn't really think about it. And I let it go for about a full month. And the pain was getting worse. And I started running fever. And I ended up having an internal abscess, which can get out of control in a hurry. People can become septic from it. And, you know, I live 8.5 hours away from Veritas. I couldn't just pop in and be treated. And so I was encouraged to go see a local doctor because it could get very serious. It could get out of hand. And so I did go to the doctor and confirm that, yes, it was an abscess and something that I should take seriously, and meant potential surgery. And we were going to try antibiotics first. And I was really, really devastated at the thought of having to take antibiotics, because by this time I knew what antibiotics could do to your gut microbiome. But I got with Nicole and we made a plan on probiotics and how to support my gut health. And I felt ready. I was ready to attack this thing, and it wasn't going to hurt me. And I hadn't learned that every time I've made a decision out of fear, it has never worked. And God was about to teach me, and he was going to use Nicole to really deliver a powerful punch to me. So what happened when I took the antibiotics, none of us took into account that the antibiotics I was being prescribed are also given to treat Lyme disease when it's in, the acute stage. And when I took those antibiotics, it caused an intense, intense Lyme flare. All of those Lyme symptoms I had came back, and I was just in really intense pain. I was knocked completely on my rear. One day I even remember my husband just found me sitting on the ground sobbing. And I was like, how am I back here? How did this happen? But I was still ready to attack the problem. And I kept saying, I am going to beat this. I am going to do this. I. And so this is December of 2021. I had a phone appointment with Nicole. And that's when Nicole packed her punch. And she said to me, you know, Caitlin, she was very nice. She said to me, Caitlin, you know, I feel you really stressing and striving and you're kind of spiraling. She said, have you ever thought that God is backing you into a corner so that there can be no other explanation for your healing other than that it came from him? And I just went completely silent. And it was like she had stunned me into kind of a very strong realization that I needed. And I went, wow, like she's right. Yeah, I'm stressing, I'm striving, I'm scrambling. I quit my job. I'm ready to, I was going to be driving to Lubbock 8.5 hours every week to have UVBI treatment. And I mean, giving everything up. And Nicole really, really opened my eyes to what the Lord was trying to scream at me every way he possibly could. And she told me about a book called The Spiritual Roots to Disease. And
By Henry Wright.
Yes, by Dr. Henry Wright. And we talked about it a little. My wheels were kind of turning at that point. And, Nicole really, I have to highlight that she has to walk a fine line and she has to deliver messages to people at the exact right time when they're ready to hear them, because people don't always have ears to hear, as I know. And she really said that to me at the exact moment I needed to hear it. And I'm just going to share the scripture. It's from 1 Corinthians 2:13. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And so she delivered a message to me from the Lord that he was trying to speak to me, and that there are spiritual truths and there are spiritual roots to disease, and that the things that we hold on to, they can actually cause disease. And God does not want us sick. It never says we have to live with our sickness or that the Lord wants us sick, but we've come to believe that. And so I ordered the book as soon as Nicole and I got off the phone, and I got it on Amazon Prime. So it was very convenient. It was there in 2 days. And as soon as I got it, I just started consuming the book, just devouring it and reading it. And my eyes were just completely opened to all of the things that I had been doing wrong, and that the Lord was trying. I felt like he was screaming at me, trying to get me to realize, like, I don't want you sick. You don't do me any good if you're sick or if you leave this earth too soon. And so that is when things really changed. And I really started to examine myself, and I had allowed these roots of fear and bitterness and strife and self-hatred, unforgiveness, shame, guilt, and I mean, the list could go on and on, to really grow and take over. And I had also started attacking myself spiritually. I was saying awful things and believing awful things about myself. I've been saying you're worthless and can't do anything, and your husband has to take care of you, and your poor husband. And when I was attacking myself spiritually, I was believing the lies from the world that say disease is normal and you have to live with it. It happens to everyone. But God never said that. And I had never gone to scripture, and I'd never looked at it. And I don't feel like I had ever learned that from any church service I'd been to. He doesn't want you sick in the first place. Definitely does not want you sick. And the key that I learned is, in order to receive healing, you have to believe it. You have to believe God's going to heal you. You have to receive it. But the other thing is, you have to ask for it. And you have to ask for it in faith. Only the faith of a mustard seed. I had never asked. I thought, God wants me to go through this struggle. He's going to teach me to persevere and go through this struggle. But when I started looking at scripture, it wasn't true. And so one scripture I'll read is Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So that got me really thinking, praying, and submitting to the Lord. And I thought I was this Christian. I thought I was walking this Christian walk, but it was nothing, nothing compared to what my relationship with the Lord is today in this situation. And that is when I truly submitted to God. And that is when the miracles really, really happened at that point.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And I want to get into those miracles. We're about at the top of the hour.
3 days later.
We're going to have to do part two. But something you just said, the spoken word, the words you were speaking over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's powerful. And I know we've talked about that amongst the staff at Veritas. We're always just going over these kind of things. But we might need to bring Angie into the conversation too, because she's really taking a deep dive into that. And of course, Nicole too, because I want to give you the time to speak more about that. And to kind of keep people on the edge of their seat, because I've read your testimony. You were kind enough to send that book. And the good part's about to come up.
Yes.
On this miracle healing.
I had to get my ideas in order because I just want to jump to the good part. Yeah, but
no, you did a beautiful job. It's amazing. And just see, up to this point, what you've encouraged people in. But I do want to tell people, come back for part two, because there's some continued healing and some continued revelation from the Lord and spiritual discernment and maturing. And we're all on this journey. I mean, obviously Nicole was in this position in your life, and y'all's paths were destined to cross, and God used Nicole in this way. But I don't want people to think we have just all these answers and we're some high and mighty. I mean, we're still walking this out, like me and Nicole personally and everyone at Veritas. I mean, this is a journey for all of us. But just the fact we get to walk this journey with you and other patients, and I mean, we're learning and growing together. So
yeah, I was happy to hug everyone today and to say, look how awesome I'm doing.
Yeah, you are doing awesome. It's an amazing story. Very, very humbled and honored that we could be a part of it, that you would look to us to be some piece of your life. And it's just been super awesome to see you get well and continue to get well.
Thank
and
you.
More importantly, growing in your walk.
That's the most important part.
Yeah. God created this whole thing. Jesus came to teach us a lot of things.
And boy, did he teach me.
Yeah. And a lot of things get in the way and water that down or distract us or get us off course in different ways. But that's a whole nother story we'll get into. So if you don't mind, if you would come back for part two, we would love to record a part two with you. And if you can remember where you left off, we'll be able to listen to it. But because there's a lot more to go into, but we got to wrap it up for today. So everybody, thank you for listening. Caitlin, thank you for being here. Nicole, thank you for being here. It's been a great encouragement. Everybody, you can go to veritasmedical.com to hear the archive shows that Caitlin's talking about, like Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride and the GAPS diet, and all the root cause protocol things with Morley. But also sign up under available plans, education or healthy, and you can get to visit with a wellness navigator, start your journey to wellness too, and to be able to go be who God made you to be fully without being distracted by symptoms and disease. Okay, so come back next week. We'll have another great show. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure.